What if people with type 1 diabetes had the power to manage their condition without finger sticks? To always know their glucose levels and where they're heading with just a glance at their smart device? To customize alerts and alarms to help keep them in range? All this knowledge powered by a small wearable. Introducing the Dexcom G6. Make knowledge your superpower. For a list of compatible smart devices, visit dexcom.com/compatibility. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G6 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
This is Into Tomorrow for the weekend of March 29th, 2019. Thank you for joining us on the program. I am Dave Graveline. Erasmo handling the editing, Julio in the control room, Horatio up in New York City, handling posts and doing show research and all that kind of good stuff. Here in the Miami studio with moi,
Beth Gaitrell.
Birthday girl, Beth Gaitrell, by the way.
Just took another trip around the sun.
She did. Mm-hmm. How do you feel?
Me and Kenny Chesney, you know we share the same birthday. Oh. Did you hear that, Kenny? We can celebrate together next year.
Anyway. Is that some country and western person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's probably why I didn't know. But happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
All right. Do you feel much older?
Yes, I feel very much older today.
Okay, good. And also in the studio,
Chris Graveline.
And it's not your birthday till August.
It's always my birthday.
Oh, jeez. It's tech news and commentary in this segment, and then we jump to more of your calls. Let us solve your digital dilemmas. If you've got any question at all about anything involving consumer tech, you can call us anytime, day or night. I sort of hold your hand through the process. If you don't know what I mean, call the following number at your leisure, anytime, right now even, if you'd like. Call this number, put it in your phone, save it. That number is
800-899-4686. Or if you like the letter version, 800-899-INTO.
There you go, INTO.
So there's a new viral tweet prank out there.
Oh, God.
Tells users that changing your birthdays on your Twitter profiles to 2007 will do everything from unlocking new color schemes to getting you admin privileges or even a verified check. Now, it's become a big enough of an issue that Twitter support has issued, a tweet, alerting users to the prank, saying, "We've noticed a prank trying to get people to change their Twitter birthday and their profile to 2007 to unlock new color schemes. Please don't do this. You'll get locked out for being under 13 years old."
Yeah.
So those that are unfortunate enough to have fallen for the prank then have to contact Twitter support and provide a copy of their government-issued ID in order to get their account back.
Oh, geez. So it's not just, okay, we'll fix it. No, yeah. No. You might be under 13.
You then have to prove your age in order to get your account back.
So don't do that. If you've done that, shame. And don't fall for all these things that are on Instagram, a lot of them on Facebook, that are face matching 10 years here and there. They're just scamming you. They're just different, various and sundry things to get more information about you. Don't do those. I notice your mom, my ex, thank God, is always posting those things. And it's like, sucker.
The latest annoying thing are people constantly doing posts. If you think you're smart about the English language, give us a word that starts and ends in A. And
yeah.
Like, I bet you can't. I'm like, yeah, you can. Just don't,
Exactly. Don't fall for that nonsense. It's just scams. It's just goofy things. How about the one where you have friends, people you know, that say, I'm clearing out my friends list for people that I haven't heard from in a while. So if
say
you're still my friend, say
something.
Hi. It's like, oh.
I never do that, and I'm still their friend.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that amazing? It makes me want to say, I'm not your friend. You're an idiot. unfriend me. Because there's no need for that nonsense. Stop cluttering up my news feed. There. Yes, I said it. Basically, last week's big Apple event, wasn't so big. iPhone sales slowing, of course. They weren't talking about that, but that's the truth. So a lot of people are getting Androids. But with iPhone sales slowing, the company's release of a premium news app, Apple Credit Card, a TV streaming platform, and a new bundle of video games could be an important sign that the company's trying to shift their focus to services. That could indicate Apple finally understands that consumers value applications more than the devices they're on. As the While You Were Working Smart Brief said, events like these are notoriously sparse on details and are essentially vehicles for free advertising, which is always helpful for a company whose star product ain't selling so well.
Ooh, maybe they'll make it cheaper.
Doubt it. I doubt it, too, because Apple doesn't discount anything. And they don't let retailers discount anything. I mean, you get Target, for example, will do something like a gift card if you buy this Apple phone. Well, that's their way of discounting it. But they won't let them say on sale, you know, $25 off or $50
free.
Off.
Used to be you could get a free phone.
Apple doesn't know the meaning
service.
Of the word free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that
they
doesn't
don't.
Happen.
And free phone, man, are you dating yourself? You can certainly tell it was your birthday.
My grandma told me all about it.
Right. Back in the day, we used to have free phones. Yeah, but they had rotary dials in them. Nah, it's a whole different problem.
Well, but you know, and this is apparently proof that their products aren't selling so well because this is just another big tech company that's sort of shifting more towards services than products. Because
yes.
They've got to try to keep themselves relevant. And profitable.
And that is the issue. And that's why do you think they're doing a new streaming service? And, oh, we have an Apple credit card. And, oh, wonderful.
New streaming services instead of satellite, because young kids will say, what satellite?
Now, this is funny, too. Beth's daughter's boyfriend, what is he, 18 now?
19.
And he got a new car, and it has, you know, 3 months of satellite radio. He goes, what the heck is satellite radio?
Yeah, I was like,
He didn't know what satellite radio was.
Yeah, they just do streaming these days.
So that's true. It's all about.
He wasn't sure what this satellite radio stuff was all about.
If it isn't Spotify or Apple Music or one of those things, it's like, what?
You know. Well, it's like the story, I mean, I've told it before on the air, but you know, when I had my son with me in a storage unit that we were going through, and I found an old portable tape player that had a tape in it and batteries.
Cassette tape.
Yeah. So I started playing something, and he goes, wow, what's that? I said, well, when I was younger, this is how we listened to music. I can't say his age, because when I was his age, it was still 8 tracks, but I said, this is how we listened to music when I was younger. He goes, you couldn't just tell your phone what song to play? I was like, well, we didn't have phones then.
I know.
I mean, we had phones, but they were attached to the kitchen wall.
Yeah, but he was 5 when he asked that question, and he's 6 now. But the fact is, he couldn't understand mm-hmm. how whatever this device is, you couldn't just ask it to play whatever song. No, it only plays what's on the tape. Tape?
And then the song ended, and he says, start it over. I said, okay, well, I hit rewind, and we had to wait there while it rewound.
It's just like how they want to know why everything's not a touchscreen.
Oh, that's also true. Well, since he was like 2, he was trying to touch the TV.
He'd go up, and I'd have like the on-demand menu on the TV. He'd go up and try to like swipe across the TV, thinking that it was a touchscreen.
Yeah, he thought it was Tinder. He's trying to swipe left and right. And,
you know. What?
Well, that was when he was 4. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, what can I tell you? There's something to be said for a general awareness of geography. For example, have you heard about this? A passenger on a recent British Airways flight ticketed from London to Dusseldorf, Germany, looked out the window as they were landing, and he said something like, that's way too hilly to be Germany. Well, it's because those hills actually belong to Scotland. The erroneous flight plan belonged to the flight crew, and the sea of hands that were raised when the flight crew asked how many of you intended to go to Dusseldorf belonged to all the passengers. Everyone did eventually end up in Germany.
Wow.
But the flight path took them from London to Scotland.
Huh.
And they landed, and one passenger said, This can't be Germany. Look out the window. That's way too many hills. That's not Germany.
Sounds like it wasn't. Sounds like Delta.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Got a free flight after.
Either way, I'll give it to them. I did mention British Airways, but I think it was run by Delta.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be it. Can you believe that? I mean, in this day and age.
Nobody had somewhere important to be at a certain time.
I mean, I've had flight crews say something like, you know, welcome aboard this flight direct to Miami, or, you know, they'll misunderstand. I meant Los Angeles or something. Sometimes to be funny, you know, and they'll say something like, you know, if you're not headed to Dusseldorf, now's the time to get out. And people go, what? You hear all this excitement. Just kidding. You know, we're heading to wherever. And even a pilot that would give a wrong location and they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I meant. And he wasn't being funny. He just misspoke. And it's like, I hope he really does know where we're supposed to be going, because I don't need a multi-hour or a day delay to get where I need to go.
Yeah, not so much.
These people went to Scotland thinking they were going to Germany. And a flight plan. And it took off. It landed. Everything was fine. Nobody injured, of course. It wasn't that thing. But it didn't go where they were supposed to go. And it wasn't a 737 MAX either.
Great.
Good thing.
Fast food giant McDonald's is buying machine learning startup Dynamic Yield for a reported $300 million. Now, why the heck is a fast food company buying an AI company? Apparently to improve the drive-thru experience. Now, when I say improve, I mean help them make more money off you.
Yeah.
So now when you roll up to a McDonald's drive-thru in the near future, you might notice the menu changing while you're ordering to persuade you to buy a few more items. The system will look at factors such as the weather, time, local events, traffic levels at the restaurant and on nearby roads, historical sales data, currently popular items, and even what you're ordering to optimize menu displays at drive-thru windows.
Wow.
So it might, for instance, promote the McFlurry or iced coffee on hot days, or suggest simpler items that are faster for employees to prepare if there's a long line at the drive-thru.
Yeah, because they invariably are going to ask you to pull up and wait. And I always say, no, I'm fine right here. I mean, you don't have fries? This is McDonald's. I'll wait right here for my fries, thank you. Oh, my gosh, this guy is it. You know, and then it's one of those things. It's like, are you kidding me? I'm going to pull up and wait.
Then they're going to give you yucky fries.
Yeah, probably. That's why I threw them away, because they probably spit in them.
Oh, I've had that problem at a Burger King by my house, right? You know, you go up to the window, and they have all these systems in place to, you know, these tech systems to help them keep track of times at the drive-thru windows. And I paid for my menu at the first window, and they said, okay, do you mind just waiting here until I tell you the food is ready? I looked at the guy, I said, nope, and I drove right to the next window. Because I knew what he wanted. He wanted me to help
him. That's why they ask you to pull forward so they can pretend like you already left.
Yeah, but because they're trying to keep these basically high school kids, you know, on task, they have timer when you approach, the drive-up menu, and then when you approach the window to pay, and then again when you approach to pick up, they're all being timed.
Yes, they are.
Which is good for a consumer if they're actually doing the job properly.
And I actually had one guy at a Wendy's that was honest with me one time. He says, hey, can you do me a favor? Do you mind backing up and coming back up to the window so you can reset my timer? So I had to do it just because, you know, hey, the guy was honest.
Hey, yeah, I would have done it too.
At least he asked you nicely. Yeah. He was honest, although the car behind you wasn't thrilled. But so those of you with new cars and just going through drive-thrus, look what you have to look forward through. It's like, really? I never thought it was like this. And that's the real world.
Well, but you don't need drive-thrus anymore because now you got all these delivery services. You know, like last night, I was sitting at home and I was craving Chicken Kitchen for dinner. So I dial up DoorDash on the app on my phone and I order Chicken Kitchen. They deliver it right to my house.
Wow. Some of us don't have that ability.
Well, you live in the boonies, that's why.
I know. That's why we drive to McDonald's.
But between, Grubhub and DoorDash, and gosh, there's so many of them now. But it's also good for these people who've just get their first car, maybe need to make a few extra bucks. You know, work in a certain area in the evening. You know, I can deliver food. You can't, if it's an old used car, you can't really be a Lyft or an Uber driver because they'll go, yeah, right. You want us to put people in that? But you could deliver food.
Well, what makes you think the people want their food to come out of there if they won't put their person in?
You don't even see it. The car's out front. They go up to your door. If you're in an apartment building, you don't know how the guy got there.
I'm going to look at every single car that delivers
you. Okay, good. You do that.
I was leaving the grocery store the other day, and there was one of those Instacart shoppers loading groceries into the back of his car. He closes the hood, you know, the hatchback, and right there on the window are Lyft and Uber stickers, and he's an Instacart shopper. So apparently this is how this guy's making all his money. Just always driving.
Drop off the groceries, pick up a passenger. Hey.
Exactly. Okay. Do you mind? I've got to get to the airport. Do you mind? I got to drop off celery to someone on the way to the airport. It's on the way, if you don't mind. You know, what?
Although I have heard they're very strict about that, because moms have looked into it to make extra money, and they've got to make sure you don't bring your kids with you.
Oh, yeah. Ron in Pontiac, Michigan, listens on AM 800 CKLW, the information station, I might add. Hey, Ron.
I need to put in a Wi-Fi extender for a device that I'm going to have on the garage outside the house, 30 feet away. What would be the recommendation for a medium price Wi-Fi extender?
Well, Ron, Wi-Fi extenders can be a bit tricky. They don't always play nice with all routers, and they sometimes require you to disconnect and reconnect to a new network. Now, if you can afford to buy a mesh or pseudo mesh system, like a Google Wi-Fi or a Eero, E-E-R-O, you'll probably have an easier, more seamless experience, but for a price.
Otherwise, your best bet is probably to find an extender manufactured by whoever made your router. Many routers come with an option to pair an extender, but they don't usually adhere to a standard for compatibility. They just allow you to hire a member of their own electronic family.
Oh, I get it. Hire a member of their own family. Okay.
There is a good chance that you will end up with two networks, one of for the first extender and one for your regular Wi-Fi, which may not be that big of a deal if you're using them far away from each other, but it can be annoying if you just want seamless, continuous access.
Yeah, now what you can also do, 30 feet is well within the limits of a wired connection, so that means you can just feed a long wire into your garage and use any cheap access point as your second source of Wi-Fi. Now, that'll likely save you some dollars, and it's more likely to work well since the signal will be there for the device to put out, whereas with a wireless repeater, the device may run into the same issue that you're running into and not have a signal to use that far away from the house.
And that's something you want with all your devices. You want them to put out. Because in this case, what he's talking about specifically is he wants it to put out.
This is a family show.
But his device should put out. His router should give him what he
service.
Wants.
The signal, yes.
Service.
Signal.
That's, where yes. Was your mind in the gutter or something?
My mind lives in the gutter.
Oh, okay. No problem. Now, if someone else has some additional input for Ron, do let us know. 800-899-INTO. And Ron, let us know what you end up with, because hopefully some of the input we provided is there for you. It can get a little complicated. You can visit us at intotomorrow.com. Look for the show notes for the weekend of March 29th. 2010. Hour two, right there at the top of the hour, there's your call and our answer. Hopefully some others will provide some input for you as well. We'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
OWC, your source for connectivity, offers a wide variety of USB-C and Thunderbolt 3 docks to help you connect to your world. Ranging from travel docks with HDMI, USB 3, SD ports, and USB-C power pass-through while on the road, to desktop docks providing power to charge your laptop, and 14 ports to connect your monitors, external drives, headphones, wired Ethernet, and other devices using a single cable. See all the OWC products at owc.com/into.
Welcome back into tomorrow. The world's first camera, get this, took 8 hours to snap a photo. Can you imagine trying to do Instagram or Snapchat?
Oh, my gosh, the teenagers would die.
I know, a selfie done in 8 hours. That would be, but now, mind you, this was the very first camera, so it took a while.
Well, even though the next several cameras, if you look at really old black and white photos, that's why a lot of people are blurry, because you had to stand completely still for a while to get these pictures done.
Yeah, because it would snap.
We'd never have any pictures at my house then.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
I'm Beth Gatrell, and this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you by the Dexcom G6 Continuous Glucose Monitoring System. Make knowledge your superpower for managing type 1 diabetes. Visit Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Yes, indeed. Mac users sometimes wonder if they should shut down their Mac at the end of the day or just let it sleep. Well, Chris from OWC lets us know if we should power down or just let it take a nap. Chris?
Thanks, Dave. The quick answer is to let it sleep. Macs can't perform maintenance tasks if they're shut down. But when they're in sleep mode, there are software updates occurring, Time Machine backups happening, indexing through Spotlight, documents being updated to iCloud, and so much more. Sometimes we need a power nap to perform at top level, and according to Apple, so does your Mac. Give it time to recover overnight, and it'll wake up quickly and run better when you log back on. This is Chris from OWC. Back to you, Dave.
Well, thank you, Chris. And for more information and, of course, some great tips and other things, you want to visit owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into. John in Bethany Beach, Delaware, listens on Delaware 105.9 WXDE. Hello, John.
I had a comment on the person who's looking for an over-the-air video recorder. I've been using a TiVo Romeo for probably 2 years now. I'm really happy with it.
Cool.
It's basically a TiVo unit, and when you buy it, you pay for a guide, a built-in on-screen guide. It's no extra charge from then on, and does a terrific job. It has all the TiVo functions, as well as gives you an up-to-date guide and allows you to interface with things like Amazon Prime or any of the other over-the-internet video services. So I just wanted to say that's the way I would go if I had to do it again.
Well, thank you, John. We love when listeners help other listeners. It gives us the warm fuzzies, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it's all about. And if you have some input as well for any of our listeners with their digital dilemmas, do what John did and share your input, share your experiences. You can do that very easily by calling the number that Beth is about to give you. In two different manners, by the way. And you could make a note of it. Don't have to be your top one or two or third thing. Maybe put us in your top 10 at least, right? Mm-hmm. Call us anytime 24/7 at
800-899-4686 or 800-899-INTO.
There you go. Meantime, we'll meet you at intotomorrow.com.
Nobody wants to get ripped off, broken into, or robbed, but nobody wants to pay a lot of money to have their home protected either.
I've got an offer to tell you about to provide home security for your home for less than a dollar a day. For real, with no installation or equipment charges. And this is from a company rated number one by a leading consumer research company. According to the facts, most of you won't even call unless there's a burglary in your neighborhood or something bad happened. So let's give you a reason. Save money. For less than a dollar a day with no other costs, you can get your home secured. Plus, get a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You need protection for your home. Call the Home Security Hotline right now.
800-561-6198. 800-561-6198. 800-561-6198. Again, that's 800-561-6198. 6198.
Because everyday technology should make every day easier, not more complicated, you're tuned into tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline, still getting over that cold, but hey, the show must go on, right? It's what we do. We all survive, hopefully, those things regularly. My turn again, I guess. But we want to hear from you. It's very important that you join us on the program, participate, ask questions, comments, whatever the case. Call in, win stuff is still a very good mantra. And of course, you participating on the program really makes the program. So it's really important that we hear from you. If you've got a question, a comment, maybe a concern, help for another listener, we love it when listeners help other listeners, whatever the case, maybe just share some tech rage. That works too. We'll bleep you. Don't worry. Makes it for interesting radio. So just share your tech rage. Either way, call the following number. It's toll free from anywhere in North America, or you can Skype into it if you prefer to do that from anywhere in the world. 800-899-4686. That's 800-899-INTO. Anytime, 24/7. Happy to have you join us on the show. Our next guest joins us to share some do's and don'ts of social media while divorcing. And you might think, as I did initially, okay, well, isn't that just sort of common sense and, you know, don't let on too many things and what have you? But think about it. There's some pretty interesting things that we should discuss. She's a divorce lawyer, of course, and author. She's with Berkman, Botker, Newman, and Rod. And I'm thankful it's not 20 more names that a lot of law firms are. Jacqueline Newman, welcome into tomorrow. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. Now, as I first mentioned, you know, you would think, well, it's kind of common sense, I guess. You know, don't flaunt if you've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend and you're in the middle of a divorce because it's not over yet. And maybe that's a mistake, I'm guessing, that a lot of people might make on social media. And then all of a sudden, the ex who you thought was blocked, but the friend showed him or her your pictures with somebody out and about. Now you've got maybe more problems on your hands. Is that one of the things that you might be concerned about?
Absolutely. I mean, you would think that people would have common sense about it. But, you know, with social media, a lot of people feel that, you know, all these thousands of people that are looking at their feed are their best friends, and they feel the need to share all the great things that are going on in their lives. But what they do forget is that many people look at this, and not only just your ex-spouse or soon-to-be ex-spouse, but it could be your children, it could be your friends, it could be, you know, people that you work with. I can't emphasize enough that when going through a divorce, it is so important to stay away from social media.
Wow. And yet it's so hard to do. As you say, people want to share, especially if it's with some friends that know what you're going through and know you might be having a really hard time. But, oh, but look, something fun happened and I want to share it with the world. Still not a good idea at that point.
No, absolutely not. And it's not always just about relationships. You know, something that had happened in a case of mine, and it's something that I talk to other clients about very often, is I represented a woman once, and the husband was claiming that he couldn't afford to pay all the things that she was asking for. And the next thing you know is on social media, on Facebook, he was in the financial district, and he closed a big deal. And he had a big picture of him in his brand new car. And it was one of those things where as soon as I saw it, I said, oh, really? You can afford this new Porsche, but you can't afford to be paying for the things that my client needs.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And, you know, it's another example of not doing it.
Oh, sure. And I'll bet you couldn't do that screenshot fast enough in case he took it down or something. It was, you've got the
absolutely.
Evidence you needed.
And, yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, it's just important to stay away from it. And I will say, you know, another example of this is I had a client who she was very unhappy. Her husband had had an affair, and she wrote all sorts of nasty things about him on social media, saying he can't be trusted and that he's a liar and all of these things. And his boss saw it, and he was up for a promotion, and he ultimately didn't get the promotion. And while we can't say for sure it was because of that, it definitely didn't help. And at the end of the day, she really kind of messed things up for herself and for her children. So It really can kind of cut all different ways. And again, just a big no-no.
And you've written a couple of very interesting books, including Soon to Be Ex, A Woman's Guide to Her Perfect Divorce and Relaunch. I like that title, too. And Soon to Be Ex for Men. Thank you very much on behalf of men and a guy who never thought he'd say ex-wives, plural. But I do. But Soon to Be Ex for Men, Preserving Wealth, Fatherhood, and Sanity During Divorce. Both titles sound fascinating and very interesting, and we'll have to talk more about those things. But since we cover tech, obviously we're talking about the social media end of things. One of the things you talk about is over 80% of divorce attorneys reported a large increase of evidence collected from social media. So you are driving that point home very well. Just don't do it if you're going through it or about to. And then once the divorce is final, is it fine? Open the floodgates, you know, share with the world that you're happy?
You know, you could. I still would probably suggest not to, because, again, unless this was an amicable divorce and everybody was on the same page, it's still going to be painful if somebody sees you moving on when the other person has not. And if you're co-parenting or there are financial situations that are going to keep the two of you connected, there's no reason to put salt in the wound.
Hmm. Although, again, I can hear a bunch of listeners, men and women for that matter, kind of screaming at their radio, oh, yeah, because that's all I live for is rubbing salt in the wound. I'm not saying that personally, but I'm just saying that I can understand that a lot of people would do it, I think, out of spite or to be vengeful. And I know several that's what him or her lives are all about, is to be spiteful and vengeful. And that is a shame by all means, but they're using social media to that end. And even though it might be finalized or otherwise, they're thinking, ha, that'll show her or that'll show him. You know, it's like, well, hey, whatever. You know, if you really have to go that route, I guess do it, but not a good idea.
It's not a good idea. And the other thing, what I say to people is that if you're about to post something, I need you to think, would you be okay if you handed that exact piece, that post, to a judge, assuming that the case isn't over, or to your children? Because that's the other thing I think people don't think about, is that social media leaves a permanent digital footprint. And so your children, you know, children nowadays are learning to text before their ABCs. So they're going to be in a situation where they're going to see social media and they're going to see what you posted about your spouse. And so if you're giving the message of, you know, mommy and daddy both love you, and that, you know, this isn't about neither of us did anything wrong, this is just mommy and daddy not wanting to live together anymore, and then your child sees on social media that you're blasting your spouse for having an affair or whatever it is you're doing, that's a very mixed message for children as well.
Oh, good point. Especially the younger they are, the more impressionable and the more difficult it may be to help them through the process as well.
Absolutely. And so you just need to be sensitive. At the end of the day, think about it. If your kids saw it, would you be okay? And if you can say yes, then go ahead. But if you can't, I would just not type it.
Gotcha. Or if you want to share something terribly exciting, then send it separately as a message or an email to somebody. And we've learned that social media, apparently, social media posts can be used against you in a court of law. Now the old police officer in me comes out. I think I'm doing a Miranda warning. But can your text messages and your private emails also be used against you in divorce proceedings?
If they're obtained legally, if you ultimately, like, what will happen is a lot of people will have a shared password, or there'll be, you know, sometimes people don't sign out, so they'll leave the computer sitting open in the kitchen, and it's not signed out, and so somebody goes on and just sees those type of emails. And in situations like that, you could arguably do it. You know, you'll get some pushback, to say the least, and as long as there aren't attorney-client privilege on it. But, you know, what happens is a lot of people do share passwords, and that's one of the ways you see that people get obtain, you know, emails and that type of social media thing all the time.
Sure. Or as you mentioned, if it's just left unlocked or, you know, unopened or, you know, opened on the kitchen table and things are happening, wink, wink, that you're able to get in and see stuff. But the point is, yeah, if you're saying things or acknowledging things or, you know, depend, I guess, too, you know, like Florida's a no-fault divorce state, but there are several states where if you're proving infidelity or things of that nature, now you've got, you know, these things apparently can be used against you.
Right. I mean, most states, I think, are now in a no-fault zone. But the things that can be, I mean, it also is really less even on the legal hand. It's also, you know, psychologically in the negotiation. You know, you have somebody that sees something and you're telling someone you're not having an affair, or you tell someone, again, that you can't afford to spend certain things. And then they see all sorts of dealings that are completely contradictory to what you've said. And that's going to make it very hard to settle a case.
Yeah, oh, good point. That's true. It could be a double-edged sword in many different ways. So the long and short of it is, if you're going through a divorce or about to or have just done it, stay off social media with bragging. You know, post things with the kids, post things that have to do with work, perhaps, you know, things you might normally do. But if you're looking at, you know, I know she's going to see this, so I'm going to put it up, or he, vice versa, whatever. You might think twice about that at the very least.
Absolutely. I always say get a pair of mittens because that's going to keep you safe.
I like how you also talk about social commentary feeding public opinion, and that can be used against you, because how does the public opinion part of that become useful?
Well, I mean, the thing that I would say on that sort of thing is that you have to also think about even other ways that social media can affect you. So, for an example, I had a case where, you know, we're making the argument that it's not a 50-50 share because the parties have lived separated for so long. Mm-hmm. And then what ends up happening is they're actually posting things that are positive. They're posting, you know, oh, my sweet wife, and oh, I love her, and she's so supportive and all of that. And that's now being brought in, you know, as something that's also coming against us and putting us in a position of, oh, well, if it really wasn't such a great marriage that you're claiming it wasn't, how come there are all these social media posts that are positive?
Good point.
So, again, you were trying to be nice. And that's not working now either.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and stay away from it.
I've known of some family, friends, in general, you see posts where people, you know, oh, my gosh, I love you. There's nothing better. You know, you complete my life, blah, blah, blah. And the next post is, well, we're getting a divorce. Yeah. So it's like, well, which is it?
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I mean, I would absolutely agree with that. I think that what ends up happening is, you know, people live what I call the Facebook perfect life.
Yeah.
Where, you know, everything looks so great, but at the end of the day, that's just not what's really going on.
Wow. Fascinating. And are both of your books available currently?
Yes, they're available on Amazon and at barnesandnoble.com.
Okay, so you want to look for A Woman's Guide to Her Perfect Divorce and Relaunch and The Soon-to-Be Ex for Men, Preserving Wealth, Fatherhood, and Sanity During Divorce, both by Jacqueline Newman, divorce lawyer and author. Jacqueline, you're a delight to talk to, even under these kinds of circumstances, and reminding us of just being careful and being cautious, especially as it relates to social media, or as I've begun calling in the last several months, anti-social media in many cases. Thanks so much for joining us into tomorrow.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. NYCDivorceLawyer.com is the site that you can visit, too. We'll get you there as well when you hit us up at intotomorrow.com. I'm Dave Graveline. We continue right here on the Advanced Media Network.
Attention. Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179. 800-674-9179.
You are tuned into Tomorrow. Thanks for joining us. You know, about one out of eight married couples these days actually met each other on the internet. One out of eight? That's pretty amazing.
And what's amazing is you can also get divorced via the internet these days, too.
Yeah, that's not so amazing.
You swipe left or right for divorce, too?
Yeah. Oh, it's a new thing. Yeah, it's a divorce app. Swipe left, boom, done.
Swipe left, done.
Yeah, if you got kids, you got to swipe up, and then you got to deal with some of those issues. But yeah.
Although I did read somewhere that Facebook is actually responsible for about 50% of divorces these days.
Oh, that I believe
only 50%?
Well. Yeah, probably more. But that
Oh, because
I believe
the other part is Instagram.
Yeah, well, yeah, most likely, which is owned by them anyway. Mm-hmm. But the fact that spouses are finding messages and pictures and likes and whatnot for other people, and what's that about? Oh, we're just friends from work. Oh, really? And you're out having drinks when you told me you were working late? Yeah.
I thought that was working late these days.
Yeah, well, it could be. What can I say?
This portion of Into Tomorrow brought to you by OWC. If you need an update to your current Mac or are looking for a Mac that's new to you, you can find whatever you need at owc.com/into. That's owc.com/into.
Now, you know, we always ask you to call the program. If you're overseas, for example, outside of North America, Skype into us if you'd like, if you use Skype or various and sundry other things. Wi-Fi calling? Every time I'm in China or Japan, I test Wi-Fi calling. And I call our 800 number, and it works so far. So you can try that, too, 800-899-INTO. But we do try to get to an occasional email. For example, this one. Brandon in Japan listens online. Smart guy. Probably subscribes to our free podcast, so he doesn't miss a minute of the show. But he sends the following email. Beth, can you play the part of Brandon, please?
Sure, I sure will. Sorry, Brandon, if this isn't what you actually sound like. But he says, Dave and parentheses, Chris, I'm currently serving overseas in Japan and need a tech update recommendation. I may be a bit antisocial and don't want to take my phone with me on runs or biking. I've understood the Samsung Gear is capable, but do I have to own a Samsung Android to benefit from this function? I'd appreciate any warnings in buying them through Amazon, etc., and what vendor you'd recommend or warn against. It is hard to trust the reviews. Thank you, Brandon.
Well, thank you, Brandon. I find it interesting that he mentioned your name, Chris, parenthetically.
Well, because he knows where the brains of the operation are.
Me? Because he didn't parenthetically address me.
Well, because he knows it when he's asking you. He's really asking me.
Oh, boy.
Because I'll just feed the answer to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me give it a shot. Brandon, the Gear, of which I'm wearing one, is a very capable smartwatch, like you say, and you technically don't need a Samsung or even an Android phone at all. But you'll need one if you want to enjoy the full functionality that device offers, rather than a very small subset of it.
If you have an iPhone, you're better off looking at an Apple Watch. They're different, but they're made to work with your phone. The Gear is made to be somewhat sort of compatible with your phone, but don't expect full functionality now or at any point in the future. Android manufacturers and Android-based operating systems tend not to prioritize compatibility with their direct competitors.
Now, let's see the brains of the matter here, parenthetically, Chris, what you might have to add.
Now, I can say from experience that I have an iPhone and I have a Samsung Gear Watch, so I get some of that functionality. I get the step counts and the mm-hmm. heart rate monitor. I don't get the full functionality that you would.
But wait, of course, do you get the time?
I get the time.
Well, there you go.
That's all you need from a watch.
Exactly.
But it works enough for me. So now, as far as vendors go, go, Amazon's usually okay. They still side with the buyer at the expense of the seller in most cases, so you're reasonably protected if anything is wrong with the product that you get. Any other big-name retailer like Best Buy or Target should be good too, but we won't be much help with suggestions of possible Japanese retailers since we don't really know any.
Oh, that's true, and he is writing from Japan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, you also have the choice of just buying straight from Samsung.com or whoever makes the watch you like.com. They would become
that's a long URL.
Yeah. Well, okay. You know, insert manufacturer here.
Oh, gotcha. .com.
Yeah. Now, that would be coming straight from the source, and that should put any concerns you may have about getting the device that you promised at ease.
There you go. So, Brandon, did we answer your question? I hope. Question mark. Parenthetically. Because there's a lot to consider there, and I get what you're trying to do. So, hopefully, we gave you some appropriate input.
And arigato for your email.
Arigato. There you go. Arigato. Domo arigato.
And thank you for your service.
Yeah, that's also true, because he is in the military. And we're assuming our military.
I would think so.
Maybe he hears us on Armed Forces Networks, which were on five of their networks around the world.
We are.
There you go.
Happy to be on there.
For sure. IntoTomorrow.com. Thanks.
Think you're stuck with slow internet because of where you live? Think again. Do what we did and order HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. HughesNet delivers the speed you need with the data you want and is available where you live. Own a business? HughesNet has plans for you too. Text RADIO to 35000 for offers in your area. That's RADIO to 35000. HughesNet, high-speed internet available where you live or work.
Welcome back into tomorrow.
I'm Beth Gatrell, and this portion of Into Tomorrow is brought to you in part by HughesNet, America's number one choice for satellite internet. Text radio to 35000. Again, text the word radio to 35000.
Keith in Tyler, Texas, listens on News Weather Talk, KTBB, AM and FM. Hey, Keith.
I just heard you were looking for Wi-Fi SSID names.
Yep.
And I had a SSID name for quite a while called I'm Watching You.
Oh, jeez.
In other words, I will see you getting on my Wi-Fi router.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm watching you. And at any rate, I enjoyed your segment.
Well, thank you, Keith. It's our pleasure trying to get some interesting things. And when you're like Keith and you participate on the show, you can win some fabulous prizes. What have we got these days to share with our audience when they call into the show?
Some TV jockstrap elastic straps that wrap around your TV and hide sports score tickers so you don't see the score before watching a recorded game.
Mm. Magnet Pal, rare earth magnets with telescoping grappled sticks to pick up metal items.
From Killer Concepts, Piggy Pro phone stands. These are razor-thin stands that just stick to the back of any phone.
Hyper Juice AirPod wireless charging cases. These will fully charge your AirPods in an hour and a half.
Micro Novelty, Tropo handheld battery-powered air pump for inflatables.
Ah, that's cool. You got something to blow up? I don't mean that way, explosively. I mean blow it up. This will help you with that. Join us, but call us at 800-899-INTO.